Following is a story I've been wanting to get out for a while. A weekend I'll never forget. Not for good reason. For context. You're going to see the word yod appear a few times. It's my friend Greep's way of saying hi. It was the camping trip that we had all been waiting for. Weeks of meticulous planning had ensured that we had left nothing to chance, and that we would leave the city with nothing but confidence and excitement. It was a long weekend, meaning we had 3 nights to explore the seemingly endless expanse of beauty and nature that was Algonquin Park. Two of my friends, Jeremy and Jacob, had booked us a camping site deep in the backwoods, nestled right in the middle of the infinite amount of calm lakes and tall oak trees. Every variable that could have an influence on the trip seemed in good shape the afternoon we left. The weather forecast showed nothing but beaming sun and warmth. Traffic was going to be unusually low along the highway. We had packed a variety of meals and snacks, and we had rested well the night previous, giving us the necessary energy to hike and forage across the 3 lakes that stood between us and our site. At 3 p.m., we packed our bags in Jacob's car and hit the road. There were 4 of us. Jeremy, Jacob, Nick, and Eli, myself. It was the middle of the summer, so we figured that we had until around 9 p.m. to get to our campsite before sundown. As we had to paddle across long lakes, as well as navigate some steep inclines and rocky terrain, we simply couldn't afford to get caught in the dark. After it took 3 hours to get to the main access point, this left us with 3 hours to navigate through the backwoods to our site. In the car, the mood was jovial. We were happy to be done with work for a while, and to be able to kick back, drink lots of beer, smoke lots of weed. All this while completely free from the hustle and bustle of civilization. "Yo, Mick, did you remember to pack the binger?" Jacob was listing off items to make sure that we had everything, double-checking and triple-checking.
Yeah, wrapped up in my camp pack. Once we get to the site and set up our shit, I'll get it out.
I was getting giddy.
Man, I'm so excited to be on that lake, getting yoded, sipping brews. It's been too long. Meanwhile, Jeremy was thinking more responsibly.
We just gotta make sure that we have everything set up before we start drinking or anything. Setting up the tent and the tarp over top, creating the hoist so bears don't muck our food, and collecting a good bundle of wood and, to start a fire.
He was right. Last thing we wanted was to navigate in the dark while drunk or stoned, trying to set up our site. Mick kept the mood relaxed.
"Don't worry about it. We have time. We'll split up responsibilities. I'll be all done pretty quick."
At this point, I could hardly contain myself. Being in the backwoods was certainly an intimidating thought, but my buddies were all experienced. I didn't have any doubt that we'd be well prepared for the mission that was to come. I fell into a nap the rest of the drive. Woke up just before we got to the access point. When we got there, Jacob and Jeremy quickly got busy loading the canoes with our gear, while Mick and I went to go buy some extra ice for our coolers. When everything was ready to go, we launched ourselves from the beach and began paddling. The mood changed quickly as we realized what we were up against. The wind had picked up considerably, creating choppy waters that took a lot of effort to paddle through. By the time we reached the second portage, it was nearly sundown. I think we were all antsy, but it took Jacob speaking up to get us to make a decision.
"Okay, the sun's already starting to set, so we're definitely not going to make it to our site tonight. Think we should just take the loss, set up on one of the open sites near the lake."
Jeremy was hesitant.
"How do we know they're not all booked? Someone could show up, kick us out. We really won't want to set up twice."
I decided to intervene. "Look, it could happen, but there's lots of sites on the lake. I'm with Jacob. I don't think that we have a choice. We can't navigate in the dark." We all came to the agreement that we needed to find a site in the next lake, and fast. Oddly enough, we began to paddle through the next lake when we noticed that every site was empty. Being a holiday weekend, this threw us off guard. Something seemed ominous to me, but I let it slide. I attributed the lack of fellow campers to the unexpected high winds. They must have just delayed their trips until the waters calmed down. We found a good site and quickly jumped out of the canoes, but without a word being spoken, we set up and started to prepare for the night. Mick set up the hoist that would keep our food away from any lurking animals. Jeremy went further into the woods to chop some firewood, and Jacob and I started to piece together the tent and tarp. 30 minutes later, we were ready to go. The hoist was prepared a safe height up from potential thieves, and the fire was crackling with great intensity. And the tent and tarp were ready to provide shelter for our weary bones a few hours later. With that, Jacob broke out some sausages to cook over the fire while we each cracked open a pint and prepared the binger. We were a few beers deep, enjoying some good conversation, when Jacob interrupted.
"Now I swear I just saw something move not 50 feet into the woods. What the fuck?"
"Yeah, you really yoded, man. At worst, it's a deer or something."
Mick was eager to settle the mood.
"No, I'm serious. Whatever it was standing on 2 feet. It was definitely not a deer. Looked like it was about 10 feet tall."
"No, fuck that. I'm gonna go check it out. I hardly doubt there's anything out there."
This was classic Jeremy, an expert troll. The three of us knew exactly what he wanted to do. He was gonna run off into the woods, buck around just long enough to get us anxious and make us try to find him, only for us to return to the campfire with him awaiting our arrival. And after about 30 minutes, that's exactly what happened. I was the one who broke. I ushered Jacob and Mick to come with me. They grumbled, but eventually followed suit. I figured the sooner that we gave in to Jeremy's troll, the sooner that we would be back around the campfire enjoying ourselves. If only. We grabbed the flashlights that we had packed away and began the hunt. It seemed so ridiculous, but deep down I thought that it was sort of fun. After 15 minutes, that fun worn away into slight desperation.
"Guys, I don't think even Jeremy would put us through this much. Something's gone wrong. I think he got lost."
"Jeremy! You yoded, bud?"
I yelled half-jokingly, trying not to get scared. A few seconds after I finished my sentence, a faint scream broke the silence. I'm not gonna lie, I was terrified. I started trembling. We all looked at each other with grave concern before Jacob had decided that he had enough.
"Now he's trolling. He's fucking trolling us. Probably laughing his ass off right now thinking we're terrified. I'm not gonna entertain it anymore. I'm going back to the fire. Soon enough he'll come back. He'll learn what we aren't gonna give in to his antics."
Jacob was pretty clear about his intentions. Mike agreed and didn't seem too interested in looking any further. I was so terrified that I wanted to stay with the other guys, so we started back towards the fire, slightly uneasy, but confident that Jeremy would come back in a short while. That's when I made the mistake of turning back and flashing my light into the deep, dark woods. I saw it for only a split second before it dashed behind a tree. It was unmistakable. Just as Jacob had described, whatever this thing was, it was freakishly tall. Better, we actually were both just yoded off our asses. I was frozen. I couldn't move. I flashed the light on my arms to see nothing but goosebumps. My mind raced with every possibility, settling on the horror that Jeremy could be gone for good. Finally, I forced myself to speak up.
"Hold the fuck up. I saw something. I swear, I'm not fucking around. It was just as you described, Jacob. Tall. Really tall. What if it...
No. Took Jeremy?"
"I don't know. This is dumb. I think we all just got drunk and high and are in need of sleep. Jeremy is doing his thing, and we'll get back soon, like we said. He'll probably be back at the fire when we return."
Mick was doing his best to keep us calm. If it weren't for him and Jacob, I don't know if we would have survived that night. When we got back to the fire, it had already died out. But that wasn't the worst part. There was no sign of Jeremy. When I realized that he was gone, my heart sank. I was torn. On one hand, I was fed up with Jeremy's trolling and wanted to sleep it all off and forget the night ever happened. On the other, I was truly terrified that whatever I and Jacob saw back there took Jeremy. and murdered him in cold blood. Honestly, I was ready to suggest getting in the canoe and never coming back, but I couldn't leave Jeremy like that. And we wouldn't be able to navigate in the dark anyway. Yeah, let's just get in the tent, try to get some rest. Jeremy has a flashlight, he knows how to get back here. It's only been, what, an hour? Probably up in a tree listening to music or something. And he'll come back after we all fall asleep to freak us out. We'll laugh it off in the morning, have some breakfast. We still got 2 days to explore. We gotta have a good time, right? So let's try and relax. Jacob had clearly calmed down a lot, and his reassurance was convincing enough to get me to reluctantly agree. On the verge of tears, I joined Mick and Jacob in the tent and decided to try to fall asleep. I don't really know how, but I managed to doze off pretty quickly. I guess the combination of fear, stress, inebriation, and fatigue had taken its toll on me. If only I'd been able to sleep through the night. I awoke to the sound of footsteps approaching. My heart started beating faster and faster, trying to calm me. My immediate thought was that it must be Jeremy, finally back. Nonetheless, I gently poked Jacob's arm, which proved enough to wake him up. In his half-asleep state, he looked up at me. What? And all this happened in about the span of 10 seconds. And by then, the footsteps were much closer to the tent. Jacob now understood what was going on. I didn't need to explain anything. We stared at each other in abject terror as the footsteps got closer and closer, and I could tell we both had the same two ideas. It was either Jeremy finally coming back, or we were about to be brutally murdered by some 10-foot-tall slender man. My heart was pounding. The footsteps were now coming from just outside the tent.
Yeah, nice try, bud. It's still awake.
Footsteps immediately stopped. No reply. Complete silence. I thought my heart was going to explode out of my chest. Whatever lay outside was now right beside our tent. For more than a few seconds, the most eerie silence remained, then the scream of a banshee broke the calm of night with the most blood-curdling, ear-piercing sound we'd ever heard. Mick jolted awake, and the three of us looked at each other, thinking these would be our last moments alive. The scream was incessant, and after a while it started to shake our tent. We couldn't formulate words, nor could any of us muster the courage to move an inch. We waited and waited, and after what seemed like hours, the shaking finally stopped. The screaming didn't. But it was getting further and further away. To this day, I have no idea what stopped it from entering our tent, but I'm eternally grateful for whatever it was. After a few more minutes, the scream was reduced to a faint sound off in the distance. It remained like that throughout the night. None of us said a word to each other. We instead tried to force ourselves back to sleep, but it was to no avail. After several hours, the light of sunrise pierced through the tent. By now the screaming had stopped. It was Mick who said the first word. Is it safe now? I think so. Let's pack our stuff. Let's get the fuck out of the park. When we arrive back at the main entry point, we'll put up in a missing persons report. As much as I wanted to hope that Jeremy would be found, part of me knew I'd never see him again. We didn't speak a word while packing up the canoe. It took us 10 minutes before we were ready to set off. Once in the water, I started to reflect on the events, and still there was no campers in sight. That's when I saw it. Squinting my eyes, what looked like a log was bobbing motionless in the water on the other side of the lake. As we paddled closer, it became clear that it wasn't a log. And once we were right up alongside it, I couldn't contain myself. I threw up into the water. We waited in silence for a little while before we paddled back to the access point.
I'll never go camping again.